your hands on the keys also. So tonight we're in for a treat for, you know, when you first talk about God because it's so special to you, it's so private, it's one of the deepest and most precious feelings that we have, and one of the things that we really do need to know is, what is your thought about God? What do you think about God? What is God? What road are you on? It's going to carry you to eternity without too many bumps. How do you hold God's finger? All those things are so precious to you. It's not easy to get up and talk about God for the first time. And I have a young lady tonight that she feels as if she has gone through her life a little bit, and she's kind of figuring it out. She's kind of deciding what's bringing her to who she is, and how she's going to get to be the person that she really likes all the time, not just once in a while. And a young lady that I think you're all going to fall in love with, and that's our Cindy Miller. Now everybody's got their energy all raised?
Yes, really
nice. Okay. If you can't hear me, let me know. Okay. I don't get nervous too much about singing, but this is speaking just a little different. Jesus himself said, little children can be a source of great wisdom and even the doorway to the kingdom of heaven. And we just as often can fail to realize it at the time. We may look back years later at either our past selves or another child in our memory and realize that they conveyed a great truth to us. One delightful thing children can teach us is not to take life too seriously. I'm sure you've got some funny stories about your childhood, and I'll share a few of mine, as well as those of other children I've encountered. One of my earliest memories goes back to when I was 2 or 3, and my parents had sent me to my room for something bad I had done. I looked at my older brother, Gary's doll, which had hair, I went and asked my parents for a scissors, which they gave me. I then very methodically cut off one lock of my hair and one of the doll's, back and forth until there was no hair left. When I emerged and my parents saw what I had done, my father laughed uproariously and my mother cried. And I was confused. Carrie Lynn Taylor, in her book, Creating with the Angels, tells another haircut story, which I will tell. When my younger sister was 5 years old, she cut her bangs to about 1/4 inch, the very day she was going to have her class picture taken. I walked into the room just as she had completed this act and asked her, "What on earth are you doing?" She answered, "I'm doing an experiment." I'll never forget those words. Of course, her experiment was not one of my mother's favorites, but the incident became a family classic and ripe with humor. Learn to experiment and not judge the outcome as a success or failure. Rather, look at your experiment in terms of what you've learned and the fun you had in the process. Experiments may not always succeed the way we want them to, but we have the choice to focus on the value of what we've learned. Another memory I have illustrates the sometimes odd logic of children. When I was about 7, my grandmother had put me on the bus in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to return to my family in Springfield, Ohio. I was traveling alone, and a lady offered me a delicious-looking roast beef sandwich. I really wanted that sandwich, but I remembered admonitions not to accept food from strangers. So just to be on the safe side, I just took half of it. So in case there were poison in it, I'd only be half poisoned. I still sometimes catch myself using that same type of logic even now. Another memory I have is of a game I had in which I pretended that the fairies left me gifts under the living room couch cushions. And every day I would eagerly check to see what the fairies had left me. Sometimes I found coins and sometimes other treasures which had found their way down the track. I also bought green playthings because fairies are green. And I played in my grandmother's yard, which had honeysuckle, tiger lilies, and hollyhocks. These old-fashioned flowers still remind me of that magical kingdom. I also tried my hand at planting pansies, but that didn't work too well. As far as angels go, when my grandmother told me the story of how the shepherds were afraid when the angels appeared to them to tell them about the baby Jesus, I bravely declared that I wouldn't be afraid if angels appeared to me. However, that night, when alone in my room in the dark shadows, I had second thoughts, and I hoped they wouldn't come right then. About my grandmother, one thing I have to say to her credit, she wasn't perfect, and who is, but she really spoiled me. And I think everybody deserves to be spoiled by someone. I remember once we were walking by a furniture store, and I saw a beautiful white rocking chair in the window. And I said, "Grandma, will you buy me that rocking chair?" And she astonished me by going in and buying it for me. That little rocking chair still sits in my parents' home in Ohio, reminding me of her big generosity. As I grew up and abandoned my fairy play, I searched for important goals that would hopefully impress the world. I had started playing the clarinet in fifth grade and eventually majored in clarinet performance at the University of Michigan. When I was a little girl, I had really wanted to be a ballet dancer. And then later, I wanted to sing. But I had put so much hard work into the clarinet, and my parents had invested so much money in lessons that I listened to my head instead of my heart. And that's what I did. I met with some success, and after graduating from college, even won a year's scholarship to study clarinet in Germany. But something was missing. When my musical studies had slowed down by health problems, I began to feel hopeless. But I had no interest in God or in church. Thankfully, though, some human angels came along to save me. I'd met a friend named Julie 8 years earlier, and this is a little God story, at a summer chamber music workshop in Oberlin, Ohio, when we were both 15. We had lost touch with each other, and there in Hanover, Germany, while waiting in line for a practice room at the music school, she came up to me and said, "Are you an American? Is your name Cindy Miller?" She was studying flute, and we quickly renewed our friendship and even played together in a quintet. When Julie suggested going to God with my problems, I told her I had enough problems without bringing God into it. She persevered, though, and loaned me C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, which I read, and I was impressed by. And gradually, I took my first baby steps towards finding God in my life. Julie and I began attending church together and sharing our faith. The second angel was Frau von Lingolsheim, who taught breathing and movement at the music school. She spent many gratuitously given hours helping me with some chronic pain problems. I think she was a natural healer. Even though I'm sure she's long since crossed over, I thank her often, and I'm sure she's with me today. The third angels were my host family, the Schaumburgs, who I initially stayed with until they found me a room to live in. Gerda and Hubie, with their two children, Steffi and Roby, Steffi was 11 and Roby was 7, often generously invited me along on their hikes and outings and to their homes for holidays. Years later, sadly, Roby, he was in his early 20s and overly anxious about his exams to be a school teacher, he took his own life, leaving his family devastated. I still keep them in my prayers. Roby, when he was 7, would often say, "Shut the door," which was one of the phrases in English he'd recently learned in school. And I can still hear him saying, "Shut the door." The last angel I'll mention, although there were many others, was Frau Davidson, who was the secretary for the Foreign Students Club at the Technical University. She warmly welcomed me to the Wednesday afternoon coffee hours and to the low-cost student bus tours to Denmark, the North Sea, and Berlin. We had lots of fun getting to know the other students, and one of them was a lovely young Turkish woman named Hatice. We ended up becoming good friends, and I also learned a lot about the Turkish culture and her religion. My search for both physical and spiritual healing brought me back to my childhood interest in fairies and angels, and eventually to our path of spiritualism. I rediscovered that fairies and angels really are real, and that the little girl that so eagerly checked the couch cushions wasn't that far off. When Connie Ferris spoke on Sunday, August 6th, about getting in touch with what really matters in life, I suddenly knew that both my brother Gary, who crossed over with cancer a year and a half ago, and my mother, Mary Jo, who also with cancer crossed over 3.5 years ago, wanted me to write something about what is really important in life and share it with others. This is because they waited until they were very ill before really understanding that what counts is love and the rest is detailed. I flew to Ohio to be with my mother a week before she died. And the years of tension between my mother and I melted away during that last week. And we both finally knew what counted in our relationship. I felt like my heart was breaking, but I was being reborn at the same time. There was laughter, too, over silly things, and I felt like I'd been given the gift of the deep knowledge of how precious life is. One of the last things I remember her saying is, "I love you all." I was also able to tell my brother Gary I loved him when he was ill, and he the same to me. After having a cordial but distant relationship with him and his family in Canada for years, in the last months of his life, he said over and over, "I spent all that time at work, and what I really wanted was to be with my family." He spent months at a time away from his family doing scientific research, mostly on ships in the Arctic, and felt the painful sense of having literally missed the boat. My younger brother, Mark, then reminded him that he had made a difference in the world by helping the Eskimos. The Eskimos were at the time hunting seals by shooting them with guns, which resulted in one or two seals out of three sinking to the bottom and being lost and wasted. He taught that the Eskimos to harpoon the seals, and I imagine this was what they did originally before they had guns, so that all the harpoon seals were able to be retrieved and used. After being reminded of that, my brother Gary relaxed and felt comforted that maybe he had made a difference in his life. As I've rediscovered the joy of connecting with both my inner child and with other children in my life, I have two more stories to share. When I was in first grade, I really wanted a ponytail, but my hair wasn't long enough. Yet every day I would try to make a ponytail. And I remember my first grade teacher, Miss Brockman, and I brought my first grade picture with the whole classroom and Miss Brockman, if anybody wants to see it. She made daily encouraging comments about the progress and length of my ponytail. Oh, today it looks a little longer, which made me feel so much happier. I try to remember that and model her behavior in my own self-talk. My last little girl story is of a 5-year-old little girl named Chanel. And I gave this story to Lindy because I thought I would never talk, and she talks a lot, but then I took it back. I need it to fight. Anyway, Chanel was a 5-year-old little girl who was the playmate of my friend Karen's daughter, Casey. And she was showing me her large collection of Barbie doll outfits, and I could see how excited she was when showing me the different combinations possible. I said encouragingly, "Well, maybe someday you'll grow up and be a fashion designer." She looked at me like I was clueless and said, "But I already am a fashion designer." Anyway, I hope someday I can achieve her level of consciousness. And now to go back to those couch cushions. I like to think of those old couch cushions as a metaphor for life. And I think that Millie is a great model for us in this respect. Life sometimes sends us situations that look as unattractive and unpromising as old, worn cushions. But if we approach them with the joyful expectancy of a child, certain that if we only keep looking, we'll find some gift from heaven waiting there just for us, underneath it all, we most certainly won't be disappointed. Thank you.
She really stepped up and did it, didn't she?
Yes.
And did it well.
Yes, Dr. Hunter, she did.